Okay, now we're getting going. This is Kim McLaughlin, and I want to welcome all of you to the Emotional Eating Solutions Coaching Group. I am a coach. I've been working with people on eating issues for quite a few years now, and this is the first group that we've had, virtual group. I've done groups in my office, and this is my first virtual group. So I'm really excited that you chose to be a part of this process. What this is going to be is this is an 8-week virtual group where we're over the phone and we're focusing on ending emotional eating. And I think you guys all signed up because that might be something you found to be a little bit of a problem for yourself or maybe a big problem for yourself. And what you can expect by being a part of this group is you can expect that we're going to start uncovering things. And it might be a little uncomfortable at times. It might feel, your head might say, Kim is way off base. She doesn't know what she's talking about. I can't do this. Just know that that's natural, and that's a part of what can go on for people, that it's just, there's a lot of things that kind of, that you've been kind of fed, so to speak, over the years. And I might kind of challenge some of those. And so just kind of bear with me that the strategies work. And your resistance is going to help you figure out a way, help us help you figure out a way to break through. So what you can expect in these 8 weeks is you can expect that we're going to uncover the triggers and the triggers to emotional eating, and we're going to uncover strategies to end it, to really help you move through it. We'll meet each week by phone from 12 till about 12:50, somewhere around there. Like I told you earlier, you're all on mute. You're in what they call Q&A mode, and so if you want to ask a question, you can hit *6, and that raises your hand, and then I can unmute you so you can ask the question or kind of make whatever statement that might be going on for you. So let's get going. So the other thing that might be helpful for you, a little housekeeping, is to keep some paper close by. You might want to write some notes. You might want to write down your thoughts. You might want to write down your feelings. You might want to write down questions or ideas, because this is your time to start figuring out what in the heck is going on and start making some connections for yourself. So the first thing I want you to kind of sit back and think about is, why are you here? And what I suspect for all of you is some of these might be true, maybe more, but some of these probably are true for you guys, is that you probably overeat in a way that bothers you. You eat more than you want, and you can't seem to figure out how to stop it. And it might feel that food's out of control, that you don't know what to do, that you don't know how to stop, you don't know when to start, and you don't know what's the right thing to do anymore, and you really question yourself about food. You might feel food is good and bad depending on what day of the week it is, and, you know, I should eat good food, I shouldn't eat bad food, but if I eat bad food, then I feel guilty. And so there's a lot of kind of head trips that go on around what food you should and shouldn't eat. And what you also might, another reason why you might be here is that you might find that you're depriving yourself, saying, I need to not eat certain things, and then finding you have a reactive binge where it might not be immediately, it might not be a day later, but a week later or however long it takes, is that you find that after you've deprived yourself, kind of gone into starvation mode, you find yourself then binging. And what we're going to talk about, we're actually going to talk about that a lot today, that that's pretty much a normal process that happens when you start depriving yourself. But I'll get more into that a little bit later today. You also might be here because you see that you eat for emotional reasons. You might be finding that you're not eating for hunger. Actually, you might not even know what hunger is. That's what a lot of people tell me, is they don't even know when they feel hungry. And you might see that you're in turn eating for emotional reasons and noticing that it might be when you're bored lot of bored eating is what I hear from people. You find you might eat when you're lonely. A lot of lonely eating happens from people that I talk to. You might eat when you're anxious. You might eat when you're scared. You might eat when you feel guilty. You might eat when you feel happy. And you eat for a reason that are everything other than physical hunger. And people will tell me often, like physical hunger, what is that? I don't even know what that is anymore, is what they tell me. You might find that you have guilt overeating. You might have guilt for overeating, and you might feel shame for what it's done to you, which is generally what people feel ashamed about, is that the weight that they've gained, the way that they look, that they can't do a diet anymore, they can't lose weight, or they can't keep it off. And if any of those are happening for you, I assure you, you are in good company and you are in the right spot. And we're going to work on all of that. And throughout the 8 weeks, a lot of these pieces will come up as we talk about food and what food does for you. So just know that you're in the right place and we're going to work on this together. So I wanted to talk to you guys. I kind of haven't done this before, so I feel like I'm kind of putting myself out a little bit, that I wanted to talk about what qualifies me for doing this. I kind of give people general little snippets of what goes on in my life, but I've never really done kind of an overall what's happened and why do I do what I do and kind of what's my story. Because what I want you to know is that I am just like all of you, and I have my story, and as you move along this process, your story will start to come out. And just know that everybody's story is different and unique, but it leads us to where we are right now. And so I kind of wanted to tell you a bit about what qualifies me to do this work. My story is that I was, from what I could tell picture-wise, that I look like a normal, average kid, when I was younger. And what I can see clearly I can see is the pictures changed and my weight changed from ages probably about 7 to 9. And what happened when I was around 7 and 9 years old is that was when my parents got a divorce and we moved from Southern California. My mom, my brother, and I moved from Southern California to Northern California. So, and we moved away from my dad. So as you can imagine, that was a pretty huge life change. I think if you would have asked me at the time, I would have told you it was no big deal and we're just moving from Southern California to Northern California. I really can't recall having any feelings about it. And what happened was I began to focus on food. I began to be at home, learning how to make different foods. I was like the girl who was putting really odd, nasty combinations of food together just to get kind of a carbohydrate, sweet, fat kick. And I did that a lot. And I just kept gaining weight. And like I said, you can see it in the pictures, and you can see this girl that went from 1 year one weight to the next year a larger weight, you know, in my school pictures. And, you know, it's sad for me to look back on it, but it is a part of my story. And so what happened was is that I wasn't paying any attention to my feelings. Nobody else was paying attention to my feelings, and I just kept gaining weight. You know, I wasn't overly large by any stretch, but large enough to where people would notice it, and I noticed it. And my mom then, when I was kind of a young teen, she started talking to me about diets. And that was back in the day when they kind of had, you know, diet plates where you'd eat, like, cottage cheese and fruit. And it was nasty food. It was, I don't like cottage cheese anymore because that reminds me of being on a diet when I was younger. And what happened, my mom, through not knowing any better, not put me on a diet, but invited me to be on a diet. And I said yes. And so from that point on, I was off and on diets throughout most of my life. And what happened was I became obsessed with food. I became obsessed with my weight. And I became obsessed with eating. And I pretty much thought about it morning, noon, and night, about what I was going to eat, when I was going to eat, how much I was going to eat. And that's what I look forward to. I found that I felt powerful and excited at the start of a diet, and then I'd lose weight, and then I'd be upset because I wasn't losing any more weight, or I wasn't losing enough weight at that point in time, or I gained weight. I gained weight on diets. And I gained weight on diets even thinking that I was really working the diet. Obviously, I wasn't if I wasn't losing weight, or, you know, there was other things going on. But that was incredibly frustrating and sad and debilitating is the word that comes to me, but that's not quite the right word. But it was shameful that I could be on a diet and gain weight, and embarrassing. It was embarrassing. And what happened was is that quite a few years ago, I decided that I was done. I was not going to do a diet anymore, that come what way, I couldn't do it anymore. And that over the years, the diets worked less and less for me, and it became it just became a shameful situation for me, and I didn't want to do it anymore. And what I found is this, what we're going to talk about these 8 weeks, is what I found was what gave me emotional clarity and emotional freedom and physical clarity and physical freedom. And I don't, you know, I can't tell you that I'm 100% with any of this, but I feel so much better. And that's what I wish for you, is just to feel better about yourself and feel better about food and feel like it's not your enemy and feel like your body isn't your enemy and that you just feel okay with everything. So the starting point, I think, as you can gather, to our work together on emotional eating solutions is to examine diets, why we diet, and really if the diets really work. And I really want you to consider that as I'm talking right now, is just really think about, for you, has a diet really worked? And first I'll give you my definition. I didn't look it up in the dictionary, but I think this is kind of close to what most of us might think a diet is. You might add some things on, but this is the closest I came to it. So to me, a diet is restrictive. It tells me when to eat, how much to eat, what to eat. It doesn't allow me to notice hunger all the time, and it doesn't allow me to eat exactly what I want. And the diet tells me what foods are good and what foods are bad, and that if I'm to be successful on that diet, I'm supposed to lose weight. I'm supposed to lose the right amount of weight. And it's not okay if I don't lose weight or I gain while I'm on the diet. The diet makes me can't count calories, having to write it down, writing down the calories, looking them up. It makes me need to count fat grams, and it makes me need to weigh and measure my food. And it makes me weigh and measure my food so that I don't eat too much. It tells me, the diet tells me when I'm full. The diet tells me when to stop. And what I want you to consider is that kind of eating is not sustainable. And that's what happens is that we go on the diet and we lose weight or we eat this certain way. And then what happens is that we go off of the diet. And then life takes hold, and then we gain weight, and we gain weight again, and we gain weight again. And what happens is that it could be a slow crawl up with the weight, and we don't necessarily notice it. But that's what makes it not sustainable, is that people tell me consistently, and this is my own story, is that I'm going on the diet to lose weight, and then when I've lost the weight, I'm done. And I might change a little bit about how I eat or a little bit of how I feel about my body, but I don't make any kind of long-term changes that are workable. So what happens is diets don't work because they don't teach us how to eat for the long haul, for the rest of our lives. And what happens is they actually lead us to feel guilty and ashamed of ourselves. So I want you to consider what happens for you as I talk about this, as I talk about diet, as I talk about my story, my definition of diet, and just notice what's coming up for you. And are you thinking, Kim's crazy, she doesn't know what she's talking about, or does she say, is your head saying, you know, she obviously doesn't know me, I can't not do a diet. That's a double negative, I did not do a diet, I would gain weight. I would gain a lot of weight if I didn't do a diet. It can bring up a lot of fear about not dieting. So just notice what feelings come up for you about the idea of dieting or not dieting. You might feel a little scared. You might feel nervous. Your head might say, no way am I doing this. She's crazy. all those things I have thought myself and then some. And I remember the feelings of, if I don't diet, then, you know, what I used to think of, well, so if I don't diet, then what am I supposed to do? And if I don't diet, how am I going to talk with people? Like, what kind of things do I have to talk to some people? Because that's often what we can rally around. I remember that a lot at work situations that I was in, that we would rally around the diet. And whoever was losing weight, we all go, what are you on? What are you doing? And then we would want to do that diet. And I remember, you know, getting the information on whatever the diet was of the day and trying to figure out how I could do it myself, because I felt a little jealous that somebody else was losing weight and I wasn't. So I'm going to go, we can go, we're really great on time. I wanted to know if anybody's having any fears come up or wants to share any of that head talk that's going on for you. And you don't have to if it doesn't fit for you right now. But if you're interested, press *6. And we could do Q&A mode. And if it doesn't fit, that's fine, and I'll keep going on. Okay. Oh, somebody has a question. So I'm going to do the question, and please know that I have, oh my gosh, two people have questions. That's cool. I'm excited. I'm going to unmute last for our 8731. I'm going to unmute you, and you should be able to talk. Hi, this is Kim. Can I hear you? Hold on a second. Why can't I hear you? Oh, my goodness.
It's Georgiana. Can you hear me?
Oh, now I can. Yes. Woo. Good. Now I can hear you, Georgiana. What's up? What are you thinking? What's coming up for you as I'm saying all of this?
Well, I hadn't really thought about how I used to get excited about different diets, like they were the answer.
Yeah.
And, you know, it never occurred to me, but I can now actually see it's like the diet was the answer, and not me.
Mm-hmm. Right. So the diet ended up being the answer, right? And it wasn't anything about you or what you were doing, but, like, isn't it interesting? It's like, if I try this one diet, this one's going to be the one.
Yeah. And some of them actually have been.
Yeah. Well, they were. And then what happened?
Well, and I think that was the other thing. Like, I never dealt with the, you know, why I ate, you know. Like, it was I didn't deal with what had me gain the weight in the first place.
And so how do you think that might have affected you if you didn't deal with what made you gain the weight in the first place?
Well, it just kept me right in where I was, you know, given that it was unsustainable with whatever diet. I usually do very complicated diets or
very
sacrificial ones. You know, I mean, when I was...
What does that mean, sacrificial?
Well, when I was dieting as the bodybuilder, you know, it's like I pretty much ate the same thing day in and day out for years.
What was the reason for that?
It was just how bodybuilders eat to, you know, be able to build the muscle and lose the fat.
And it worked. It worked, didn't it?
Yeah, it worked. I lost 80 pounds.
Right. And was there a point where it didn't work?
Well, I think at some point when I was getting ready to compete, it didn't work.
Yeah. And also the sustainability of it.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's not quite a normal is all in the eye of the beholder, but it isn't kind of a regular way of eating.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's sacrificial. I mean, you know.
Sacrificial.
In flavor and a lot of different things.
And did you find that once you were out of the weightlifting or bodybuilding venue that it was even harder to sustain it because you didn't have people kind of encouraging you or you didn't, you know, kind of have all the stories to share about that?
Say that again. I don't follow you.
Well, what I mean is, like, I remember when I was working at I'm kind of blessed right now. I work for myself, and so I don't have to be involved in everybody's diet or I don't hear about them. But I just remember that there was a time where when if somebody was doing a certain diet and we all did it together, it felt like we all were encouraging each other. But if I wasn't working there, I wouldn't do that diet because there was nobody to encourage me on it. Like I got encouraged at, let's say, a job or let's say while you're doing your bodybuilding.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it was, and the thing that worked about it was there was a community. I mean, I was in a particular community, but what didn't work about it is that it kept me isolated from the rest of my community.
Oh, yeah. Right? So this certain way of eating kept you in good with one community, but it isolated you from another community.
Totally.
Totally. That's really interesting. Okay, so you can hear that stuff's coming up for you, the feelings and just the memories, and those are all really important things that you know, for you just to kind of mull over and know that that's what your history has been and that it's just good to start noticing what our history of diets has been and does it serve us anymore, kind of what happened before. And is it really successful? Because what we'll often do is, in our heads, kind of go back to, well, it worked before, well, I could try it again. And in our down times, we might think, oh, this will be okay for me to try it again because it used to work. And so it's just important to know for the ways that it didn't work, because if we ever think about going back to it, we can kind of remind ourselves.
Right.
Yeah? Okay, yep. Good. Thank you for sharing. I appreciate it. Okay, anything else?
No.
No, okay, I'm going to mute you and go to the next person in line. Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Okay, we got somebody with 4210 as the last four in your phone number. You had some questions or ideas you wanted to share?
It's Alicia.
Hi, Alicia.
Hi.
What's come up for you?
Well, it's interesting. A few years ago, I did go to a behavior modification specifically for weight issues. And I remember, you brought up a memory. I used to think about food every waking moment.
Yeah.
And when you said that, I was like, oh, my God, I used to think that way. You know, what was I going to have for breakfast, lunch, dinner? What can I have for a snack? And fortunately, the behavior modification did help me become mindful of that, but I have not released weight or lost weight, however you want to say it. But the one thing that you said that really struck me, because this is so true now, I don't know if it was in my 20s or 30s, and I have been overweight. I've been on a diet since I was 12. You said, basically, I have fear when I am on a diet, you know, am I going to lose weight? But if I'm not on a diet, I have fear about how am I going to lose this weight. So it's like I'm in perpetual fear or anxiety.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know that, but that is true because I'm constantly thinking, well, if I don't lose weight by going to Weight Watchers or eating less or, you know, la, 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 then I'm going to die early, I'm going to be handicapped, have a heart attack, whatever, you know.
Right. So can you hear that kind of you've bought in, and I don't mean this to be, you know, kind of negative to you, but this is what's happened to us is that we buy into, I love what you said, is that I'm fearful on a diet and I'm fearful off a diet. I mean, so like you're living in a constant state of fear.
Yeah, and I didn't realize it until you pointed that out, but it's true.
Yeah, and so what do you think that does for you then? I mean, what's your kind of understanding that, I mean, what do you think might happen for you if you're fearful being on a diet and being off of a diet?
That's probably why my blood pressure is high.
Oh, wow,
I mean, I think it causes underlying stress. Even if it's a subconscious thought, you know, I don't say it out loud every day, but I do think about it. So, and it causes shame and guilt and all that stuff that you talked about.
Right. And also, if you think about it, that idea of being constantly on edge means you're thinking about food a lot of the time, and you're thinking about how bad you feel a lot of the time.
Right.
You know, you're kind of in this perpetual state of anxiety and fear, and like it means kind of food, you know, really what I think of, and we'll talk about this in later weeks, is food should be put in its proper place as nourishment. It's just nourishment for our body. And it's
right.
Not nurturing for all of the other things that happen and for all of the other ways or, you know, for our life. I mean, it can be nurturing, but it's not meant, that's not its sole purpose. It's really meant to be nourishment. And so when you're in this constant state of anxiety, then food becomes this way of anxiety about diets. It's like, then what do? We focus on food, and then what do? We binge. That's just how we deal with it because we have no other way.
Right.
So how are you with the idea of letting go of the dieting?
Well,
how's that sitting for you?
I think that's why I stopped thinking about food all the time is because I finally did just, I was at a point in my life, you know, it was black and white. I'm either going to lose weight or I'm not, you know, forget it. And I haven't been on a diet in the last 4 years. I just started Weight Watchers the other day because, or a couple of weeks ago, because I had done it before and it's actually pretty easy. And I had a mind shift, you know, a mindset shift where, what if I succeed at this instead of saying what I'm going to fail, you know? So I like how you define diet or share the definition of diet because there's a lot of shoulds, do's, you know, don'ts, and it's all negative talk. And that's the last thing we really need in this journey.
Right, and that's really, yeah, the shoulds and what you should and shouldn't do, and it becomes where we just think kind of morning, noon, and night often about food and what we're eating and what we're not eating and why are we eating it and what can we eat next, and really beginning to, in this process, what we'll do is begin to look really at our bodies. And what is our body saying we need and how much and is it fitting? And also looking at, you talked about the negative, kind of, I call it negative self-talk, like kind of the negative things we say to ourselves that, that are going to make it so we're not successful. Because,
right.
You know, I mean, my goal for everybody is that you feel peaceful with food and that you put it in its proper place as nourishment and that you feel at peace with food, you feel at peace with your body, and you just go about your day not thinking about it all the time. And what happens is that, you know, I can't say whether anybody's going to lose weight. I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a dietitian. But, you know, if we put food in its proper place as nourishment, our bodies will probably fall to whatever size is meant to be for us, that there's just kind of a resting spot, and it's not necessarily the resting spot that we think in terms of the number, but we feel comfortable. And I can tell you, you know, I feel comfortable in my body today in a way that I didn't feel comfortable 5 years ago, 10 years ago. I just feel comfortable with myself. And, you know, it's nothing's perfect, but I feel comfortable. And I used to feel pretty bad about myself and think pretty much all the time about how much I disliked my body and disliked what was going on. So we'll get more into, like you said, about the positive self-talk and positive things, because you want to go into this believing that you're going to be successful.
Right.
And I think that's really important what you said is, like, let's go into this, you know, believing that we're going to be successful in whatever way you want to be successful, knowing that certain things do work and certain things don't work.
Right.
Yeah? Okay. Anything else that's come up for you?
No. Mm-mm. I like the last thing you just shared, so thank you.
Okay, cool. I'm going to mute you again, and we're going to go on. And if anybody else wants to raise their hand, what did I say? It's *6. And if you guys ever drop, if the line drops for you, just know you could just call right back in. Somebody dropped off, and so I'm not sure. I'm hoping I didn't do anything. So I'm just going to mute you, and if you drop off, just call right back in. Okay. Okay. So I love what you guys are talking about, and I love that you're considering what food's doing for you and what diets do for you. So going on a little bit more about diets, I'm kind of making a case, and I get it. I'm making a case against diets. So I know that, and I'm always open to people challenging me on that, especially if you have kind of something coming up in your head that says, I don't agree with you, I don't believe you. Please, you know, hit the *6 button and come talk to me and tell me what you're thinking so we can kind of clear that up. So I want you to consider what goes on a diet, what happens on a diet, is that you actually become more preoccupied with food. Like, we aren't preoccupied enough as it is. But we become more preoccupied with food, thinking about when I'm going to have it, when am I going to get, am I going to have enough, am I going to get full, and how can I make the food that I'm supposed to eat go further. You start feeling guilty when you don't eat according to the plan. That's another thing, is that, so if I eat something off of my plan, I feel guilty. And that's a really tough way to live, is to live that, you know, think, to tell yourself you're bad or you're wrong if you eat a certain food that's not on whatever the certain plan is. Also, what happens on a diet is you get fearful that you can't lose weight. That was my thing, is, I would gain weight on a diet often. That would happen. And it was because I wasn't following it fully, but also because it just didn't fit for me. And I was rebelling. I rebel against diets. And I would do that often, and I would kind of lie to myself and tell myself, oh, I'm eating the way they say, and I really wasn't, because it didn't fit for me. It didn't fit for my lifestyle. It didn't fit for what I wanted, and also it kind of messed with my head. Also, what happens on a diet is that you try and counterbalance it with exercise, and this is really important, and it's something that happens is that we begin to think that, and are sold this kind of line that, well, in order to diet, I need to exercise. And so what we do is we then bring in an exercise program with the diet, and then we don't necessarily like the exercise program, don't necessarily want to exercise, but we think we have to in order to lose weight. And so what happens is either we go off the diet and we stop exercising, or we've reached our goal weight and we stop exercising. And I want you to kind of consider that food is just for food, food is for nourishment, and exercise is so we can be healthy and move our bodies. And really just connect them from the idea of dieting and exercise. Because what, I don't know for you guys, but for me, I really hated to exercise. And I could have told you that a long time ago. I used to hate to exercise. And now what's happened to me is I really enjoy. I went to my workout this morning. I enjoy it. I look forward to it. I have fun. I love the way it makes me feel. I love the strength it gives me. I don't do it to diet. I don't do it to lose weight. I do it because it makes my body strong. It clears my mind. And it's just a healthy thing for me to do. But I also do exercise that I enjoy. I don't do exercise that I don't enjoy. But as I'm more physically active, I'm more physically active. So I'm more available to do more things in a physical way. So what might come up for you in this beginning part of our process is you might think that you have to exercise, and you don't, unless you want to. But put exercise in the spot of, I do it because it's fun. I do it because it makes me feel good, not because it will make you lose weight. Because then you're connecting exercise with dieting. And I'm not saying don't exercise. I'm just saying consider that not connecting it to dieting and just make it that it's fun and it's just a good way to move your body to make you feel good. So another thing that happens when we're on a diet is our body goes into starvation mode, and what actually ends up happening is we actually end up craving food. Our bodies are not meant to be starved. And what we end up is we crave food, generally the food that isn't necessarily in our highest good. And also, lastly, what happens on a diet is that you fear that, we just talked about this, is that you fear that if you stop dieting, that you'll gain weight. It's a tough place to be in. So I'm making a case for you to consider whether diets work or don't work for you. And what we know happens on diets is that there's this backlash. Is that what happens over time is that you eat less and you don't lose weight. And that's been my story, is that I'll eat less and I don't lose weight. And what happens is that we begin to get a sluggish metabolism. This isn't me telling you this. This is people in research and nutritionists who talk about that's what happens over time, is that we eat less and then our body just doesn't lose weight. Also with the diet backlash is that you end the diet and then you binge. And we'll talk more about that next week as we talk about noticing our body and when we're hungry and when we're full. But what happens is that when we end the diet, we generally tend to binge. The backlash is also is that we can't trust ourselves with food and we can't trust our body to know what it needs. And this is another point that we'll be talking about in the weeks to come, is that what we're going to do is start getting more in touch with our body and knowing what our body's cues are, the subtle cues, the big cues that tell us when we should eat, what we should eat, and when we should stop. And so that is an important piece of what we'll do as time goes on, because what we've done right now in the diet mentality is can't trust ourselves with the food that we eat. Also what happens in the diet backlash is that you feel that you don't deserve to eat. And what will happen to us is that we don't feel like we deserve to eat because of our weight. I shouldn't be seen eating. People shouldn't know that I eat. Well, people are supposed to eat. They're supposed to eat for health reasons. And so what we tell ourselves is we feel embarrassed and that we don't deserve to eat. And food is really a life-giving force. That's important for us. So notice if that comes up for you, like, I don't deserve to eat. also what happens in the diet backlash is that you can only stand to be on a diet for shorter and shorter periods of time. And that's my story too, is that over the years I've been on so many diets, I finally can't do it anymore. And I would go pay my money for whatever the program was, and I would do it for shorter and shorter periods of time because I just couldn't do it anymore. The other thing that we tend to do is we want a quick diet to get that quick start. I bet you guys have been there before, because I've totally been there, where you kind of want to jump start your losing weight, and then I'll jump start losing my weight until I get a little bit down, and then, you know, I'll stop this really restrictive eating plan, and then I'll go back to eating normally. And what we know happens is that we gain weight and then some. We're kind of kidding ourselves. There's also this thing that happens with the diet backlash is that we have Last Supper eating. And I've done that. You probably have done that too, where, you know, the week or the night before, you know you're going to go on a diet, call it the Sunday night eating. You know, you just eat everything you can because you know as of the next day, they're all going to be off limits and that you won't, and that you're afraid that you'll never get those foods again. So I'm going to have to get them all in right now because I might not have them ever again. There's also, with the diet backlash, this is what Georgiana talked about, is that social withdrawal, is that you have one group of friends that you eat with a certain way and one group you don't. And so there is kind of, you feel like you can't go. I've had people who talk to me about their certain eating plans, and they don't go to a birthday party because they're afraid of the birthday cake. They don't go to a picnic because they're afraid of what foods will be there. And so they tend to isolate because they're afraid of having food around, and that they'll eat the bad food rather than just going to enjoy themselves. And lastly, with the diet backlash, is that you can tend to feel that you have no willpower. And that's just a sorry thing that we've all bought into, that we have no willpower. And it's not that. What it is that we have willpower is not the problem. The problem is the diet, and the diet leads us to binging. And I hope you've kind of gotten that as we've been talking and thinking about that today, and I really want you to consider that this week about how diets have affected you, and really is it that you don't have willpower, or is it maybe something else is going on that's creating this problem for you, and it doesn't have to do with you. So, I've talked a lot about diets, about how they don't work. And so what I want to, you know, what you're probably thinking is, well, then, Kim, what do I do? One of the things for each of us to do is to think about, acknowledge the damage diets have done and kind of how it's let us down. What have diets done and how have they let you down? For me, it would be that I kept gaining weight. My metabolism changed. I kept binging afterwards. And I didn't have any kind of peace. And that's what that was the damage that it did to me. And then also what to do is look at your diet mentality. What's coming up for you now that maybe is telling you I need to restrict, I need to do something specific, and any fear, the fear that Alicia talked about earlier, the fear about being on a diet and the fear about not being on a diet. Those are powerful things to consider for yourself about where are you at with that. The next thing of what to do is, and this is going to be bold and brave, but I let go of my scale, and I stopped focusing on the scale quite a few years ago because it made me crazy. And we can talk more about it next week in terms of hungry and full and weight and things like that. But it's really considering, does getting on a scale mess with your head? And I got to tell you, there are some days, even till today, that it messes with my head and I just don't get on a scale. I go more by how my body feels, how my clothes feel, as to whether how my weight is doing. And the dieting tool of the scale makes me a little crazy in a not good way. And the last thing, what to do in this process, is be compassionate. and just know that this is a process. This is something for you to consider. I am possibly bringing up things that you haven't heard about before, that or that you maybe heard of but didn't want to consider. And if your head is telling you I'm completely wrong, completely off track, just notice it. Just notice what that is. And begin to wonder if maybe your head is taking you in the wrong direction, if maybe that might not be true, and maybe there's something about dieting that has not been your friend and not been good to you. So be compassionate with yourself during this process. So the thing I want to do this week is I want you to, I think the way that this process is going to go the best is if you have some opportunities to reflect on what we've been discussing each time we're together. And I'm going to put this, I'll put this up on our website, but I want you to consider this week and write down what diets have you been on and how did they ultimately not work for you. And for me, that means that you didn't get peace with food, the ultimate peace with food. What diets have you been on and why didn't they work for you? Just to kind of examine for you what your history has been with diets. The second thing I invite you to do is to write down for yourself what is your definition of a diet. Because then you'll know when you're going into that more restrictive mode. So what is your definition of a diet? Once again, I'm going to write these down on our website so you can have it there for you to consider. And then this is something I do with all of my my private clients, and I really would invite you guys to do this yourself, is to think about one self-care technique you can practice this week. And as we move from looking at food as nurturing ourselves and into food as nourishment, we need to nurture ourselves in other ways. And part of what this process is going to be is we're going to start thinking about how do we take care of ourselves. So I would love you to consider one self-care technique you could practice this week. And that can be things like journaling, prayer, meditation, going to see a movie, going to bed on time, wearing clothes that fit. I've been used doing this, wearing jewelry. I've been liking to wear my jewelry lately, which makes me feel pretty. And I'll give you a list of some things on our website. I'll give you some list of things that might be self-care techniques. But what we want to do is move from food as nurturing into nurturing ourselves in a more positive manner that really can work for you. So those are my invitations for you this week. What we'll do is, because we're getting close to the time, what we'll do is I will send you a link of the audio for today that you can listen to at your leisure to re-listen to what I've said and kind of get some of the goodies, more of the goodies of what we've been talking about today. And I'll also send some homework assignments, and I'll put that in our website tomorrow. But I'll send you an email when it's there. And also I'll send you, at least on Monday, I'll send you an email kind of a checking in and making sure everything's going okay kind of email. I want you to know that I'm available, that if you have some questions that you want to send me that you'd like me to answer during our call, I would be more than happy to have you do that. If you have a question, something's not making sense, send me an email and let me see if I can a private email for you to kind of encourage you, to give you some information. And any feedback you have on what's working for you would be great. So we are really out of time. I'm going to do next week, we'll have a little bit more time for a little more Q&A time, because I always like that. I like hearing what you guys have to say. I'm going to open it up for the last few seconds. Does anybody have a question? I have to look. It's star 6. If there's another question, press star 6. Okay. I don't see any questions coming up. Please feel free to email me if you have questions. I am so excited for you guys and excited about what we're going to do together. And I will say goodbye for today. And we'll definitely get back together next Thursday at 12 o'clock Pacific. Have a great rest of your day. Bye-bye, you guys.